Welcome to the show, Sam Rajovsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And folks, we all hate going to work. Well, actually, I like going to work, but I know a lot of you don't particularly like it. And so here, folks, is a hero of the people. This guy right here, I guarantee you, Bernie Sanders voter. Guy in Spain skips work for 6 years and no one notices. Believe it or not, this actually happened. He was fined, finally, even after he was given an award for 20 years of loyal and dedicated service. Could this guy be a senator? Is this little Marco? Oh my goodness. Where do we begin, folks? Where do we begin? So much going on. Today, of course, we've got a few primaries results trickling in. But, you know, look, here is the scoop. Marco Rubio is history. It's done. It's over. And I got it. There's a couple reasons why. No, Robbie, it's not that he got on Fox's, you know, crap list here. Although that is an interesting story that came out. Apparently, Roger Ailes, the man behind Fox News, the creator of Fox News and a man who rules Fox News with an iron fist, has been quietly supporting, well, not so quietly, but supporting Marco Rubio, the network has been really helping him. And he is specifically, you know, there's insiders that have spoken on the record, and they've hinted, and I think the programming backs it up. Anyone that has been watching Fox News in the last month will have noticed that Fox has really been holding the water for little Marco. Krauthammer, Stephen Hayes, all the major talent from Hannity and elsewhere have all been very complimentary to Marco Rubio, even at times when, in my opinion, it has not been deserved. Well, all that may be coming to an end, the bloom being off the rose, so to speak. And, well, two reasons for that. One, Super Tuesday, when you only win Minnesota and then get up on stage and sound absolutely delusional and hold a victory rally, which he deliberately set his victory speech at the time that Trump was scheduled to give his news conference. And I'll talk a little more about that. That's a little Marco move. That's a Marquito move. You just don't do, anyway. So he's trying deliberately to get under Trump's skin. I'm going to talk about that Trump speech. Well, it wasn't a speech. It wasn't a victory speech, right, Robbie? It was what it was a very presidential press conference. But again, more on that later. So, yeah, Fox News, apparently there are three sources confirming now that Marco Rubio has lost the support of Fox. And Roger Ailes is also pissed because apparently the two of them had a dinner where they detailed a plan about how Fox News was going to support him. So there was a tacit agreement that Marco Rubio would get the unwavering support of all the talking heads on the primary conservative network. One would say probably the GOP establishment network. Well, there's one problem with that meeting, and that is that we're talking about it. Word of it leaked out. And needless to say, Roger Ailes is furious. He's furious, little Marco, that the leak got out. And whether, obviously, it wasn't Rubio himself that got these details out, but he carelessly must have told enough people in his inner circle and somehow word of this had spread. Ailes does not like to be in the news. He's a very private person, which is why a lot of people don't really even know his name. Now, what else? I think, folks, Rubio just sold out on who he is. There is this effort for him. Now he's going around everywhere and he's saying, yeah, fraud artist this, con artist, you know, fraud, Trump University. And one of the things that, you know, is really challenging, I think, is Rubio already has been accused of being a kind of a puppet, right? He repeats himself, stammers all over himself. And so now he's up there and he's got these insults, right? Or these, you know, and even other stuff, right? You know, about Donald Trump's appearance and his horrible spray tan. Now, here's the thing. What folks don't understand, this is really where other candidates have failed to grasp the Trump phenomenon. And that there's something about Trump's personality where when he does this stuff, it kind of comes across as cute and charming. Okay? I mean, and even for those of us who maybe find that it's a little over the top, we find ourselves chuckling and saying, well, that's just Donald Trump, because that's the way Donald Trump has been. That's his personality. That's how he's been in the media. And he is who he is. And I think also it helps that Trump is a little bit older. Okay. You got a young guy here. It's the optics of it, right? You've got a young guy here who is making fun of an older guy. He's making fun of a guy who, well, I mean, has been in the private sector. In fact, Trump has some of the credentials that Rubio lacks, arguably. All right. And so now he's out there and he's decided to out Trump. And it hasn't worked. It certainly didn't deliver anything spectacular on Super Tuesday. Folks, Minnesota was no big prize. You know, we talk about the great conservative movement. Rubio cloaks himself in that. Minnesota's a state that, well, I think it was the only state in 1984 that Reagan lost to Walter Mondale. So with that being his only feather in the E15 contests to date, Rubio's got some susplaining to do. Now, let's talk about the Romney thing. Because that's not going to help Rubio either. So Romney, what is it, on Thursday? He gets out there. He gives the speech at the Hinckley Institute of Politics in Salt Lake City, Utah. And well, why did he do it? Well, folks, you got to understand, Romney took hundreds of millions of dollars from the Republican establishment and gave them nothing in return. He lost an election that he should have won. If you look at, everybody's talking about Trump's unfavorables. Look at Obama's unfavorables in 2012. Obama was the candidate to beat. Obama was the candidate that literally was bleeding, and he was bleeding on two fronts. He was a disappointment to center right. Correct. I mean, because a lot of his, I mean, nobody center right liked Obama after the first 4 years. The whole hope and change and the whole I'm going to be above everything and we're a post-racial society. The cat was out of the bag. But now he also was in trouble with the center left. This is the Obama before Gitmo was closed. This is Obama running two wars. This is Obama under-delivering on a lot of the promises that he made his base during the 2008 election. So, folks, what you got to understand is when Trump and others criticize Romney for running a disastrous campaign, it's a fair criticism. Because that campaign was Romney's to lose. Now, what Romney did, and we'll talk a little bit more about this when we get back, but there were certain points in time where he really did, folks, where he he missed opportunities to win it, to take it. And critically, Mike, I'll tell you, I think when Romney was caught on tape, you all remember this, when he was caught on tape talking to the donors about the there's 49% of this country that depend on the on welfare in one form or another. Okay? There's half the country that are takers. And we're not going to be able to win them. To win them over. And of course that leaks out and the Obama campaign makes fodder out of it. And the next 2 weeks are occupied with Romney apologizing for what he said and trying to explain it away. Instead of owning it. And you got to remember the voters in that election who wanted desperately to see Romney win, anyone win, to oust Obama from the White House, left that incident scarred. And Trump, for all his warts, his problems, his idiosyncrasies, he has been the answer to many of those disenfranchised, disappointed, frustrated, pissed off voters. He has been the answer to their prayers. Because you know what Trump would have said if that audio had leaked on him? Well, he might have even denied it happening, but he never would have apologized for it. He would have said, you know what? That's correct. We have a country, we have developed a society of moochers. He would have stood by it. And that, folks, that is how you win hearts and minds. It comes down to the truth and not apologizing for it. Got more. Folks, got to take a brief timeout. Back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars.
And welcome to the program, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Folks, Mitt Romney, put us, well, in, you know, he didn't support any of the other candidates. I want to mention this really quickly. In fact, folks, if you listen carefully, see, here's how things get misrepresented in the media. I did not get to see the Romney speech live. I went to peruse it on YouTube after the fact. And leading up to it, I can tell you exactly what I'd heard told to me by, if not one, then 15 people who told me, well, yeah, you know, and he doesn't endorse any of the candidates. He doesn't endorse Kasich. He doesn't endorse Rubio. He says, if you like this, you'll like Rubio. If you like this. And I thought, what an odd thing to say. I mean, that's, you know, if you like crab legs, go over to that part of the buffet. And if you're a vegan, stay home. So so it turns out, folks, if you listen to the Romney speech, which if you haven't listened to it, I don't blame you. It was a snooze fest. He doesn't say that at all. What he said on Thursday is vote for Rubio in Florida. Vote for Kasich in Ohio. Vote for Cruz, and he gives, I forget which state. And I looked at the numbers, and what he's suggesting to people is that they put in the primaries, if they coalesce their support behind the next closest candidate in the polls, right? So I don't even have to give an example of that, right? What they're trying to do, what he's basically saying is obstruct the primary process and put your votes behind any one candidate strategically in each upcoming primary to derail the Trump candidacy. Now, this is rich coming from the man who had his own primary ambition stolen from him back in, when was that, Robbie? 2008? I believe it was another establishment Republican it was establishment Republicans, wasn't it? Ironically enough, that sank the SS Mittens. Now, folks, before you're up in arms, I did not use a white supremacist term. SS is a reference to a type of ship. I think it actually means screw steamer. Robbie, did you know that? Screw steamer. Which is exactly what Trump is doing to everybody in this race, right? So who's the killing fields? Every time a candidate has attacked Trump, what has happened to that candidate? Glug, 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 right? Walker? Yes, he's at the bottom of the ocean floor, folks. And many after him have followed. So this is just so ill-conceived. And I don't even want to get into the substance of what Romney said, although, well, let's do it, Rob. Go to soundbite number three, and we've got audio from
Trump has shown an extraordinary ability to understand how our economy works, to create jobs for the American people.
Why? Stop the tape. Got the wrong one, Robbie. Get what you pay for, folks. It's the other soundbite. Maybe is it number four? Go to number four.
He understands that our economy is facing threats from abroad. He's one of the few people who stood up and said, "You know what? China has been cheating. They've taken jobs from Americans. They haven't played fair. We have to have a president who will stand up to cheaters. We believe in free trade and free enterprise, but we don't believe in allowing people to cheat day in and day out."
What?
Wait a minute.
So. Well, that was a different Mitt Romney. When was that, folks? This is right. I think he said everything the opposite of that. He said everything opposite of what he said in that press conference that he gave on Thursday. That Romney doesn't know anything about trade. That he's going to start a trade war. That he doesn't get any geopolitical issues whatsoever. He all but called him a clown. But there, in those two clips, folks, what is he doing? He's accepting Trump. They're at Trump Casino in Las Vegas, and he is accepting Trump's endorsement in the 2012 race. It's not even worth talking about. I'm very disappointed. Think Romney's a good man, but again, he's beholden. There are a lot of people have written him big, big checks, lots of money. If somebody wrote you a $100 million check, and another guy wrote you a $50 million check, and another guy wrote you a $120 million check, and they all came to you and said, "Well, gee, Mitt, thanks for screwing the pooch on that race back in 2012. You know what? You owe us. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to get up in front of the world. You're going to denounce this guy because we're going to throw everything we can at him." But what's the effect of this, folks? The effect of it is, in my opinion, it's only going to help him. It's only going to help Trump because Trump is running against the establishment. He has been from day one. And the Republican Party, while we're already talking about the 2012 election, let's talk about what happened after that election. Now, you're nodding. Yeah, so you know, okay, Well, there was. They called it an autopsy. So when you call the self-analysis session that follows some event an autopsy, it basically is a pretty strong admission that things did not go well. Yeah, so yeah, they needed Ben Carson to use his gifted hands. I tell you, here's the thing. In that autopsy, they identified, the Republican Party, led by Rance Priebus, identified all these things that they needed to fix about themselves, not the least of which, we need to attract minorities, they said. We need to attract blue-collar voters, which they bombed with, right? They just bombed. Because, again, Obama skillfully was able to make the whole Bain Capital, I'm a Wall Street raider, I'm the guy taking jobs and moving them overseas, shtick. He made it stick to Romney. And Romney sat there and he took it, and he took it, and he took it. And fast forward 4 years, lo and behold, a candidate is not letting anybody take it. Well, he's not taking it. He's not letting anybody else stick it to him. And all those people that were throwing their shoes at their television sets, that were burying their hands in anguish watching the evening news, watching that hag, Candy Crowley, just attack Romney. Biased, you know, remember that debate? How could we forget? Candace Crowley, can you imagine Trump tucking into her? She would still be on Dr. Phil's couch, I guarantee you, to this day, if Trump had had a little go at her. Folks, that's perhaps just some of what is attracting people to Trump. But I actually consider there to be greater depth to it. In my opinion, a movement, okay, ideologies, they're in some respects flexible, okay? And I don't mean this in a lack of character kind of way where what you believe is flexible. I mean that ideologies evolve, okay? But overall, there is some true guiding principles, right, that govern a particular ideology or a particular movement. And here's the thing. Parties are not run by new talent. Parties are run by the dinosaurs that have been hanging around for years and years and years. Folks, when I look at the Republican leadership in the Senate, let's say, and I see Mitch McConnell, I mean, what is that? That somebody addicted more to power, in my opinion, than any particular kind of ideology. Whether it's Harry Reid in there today, yesterday, or tomorrow, or Mitch McConnell, or... I mean, there's some of you listening who haven't even heard that name, right? I mean, these people are just vapid, blithering, power-hungry losers. And I call them losers because we elect them, right? You and me, we put these people, we vote them in, and we hope, for one, I don't know, that they're going to stop the Obama agenda or that they're going to provide some balance to what's going on. And what do they do to us over and over and over again? They go to Washington and they make nice. They make nice because what? They want to be liked, and it's more about being in power than about adopting a particular ideology. And the takeaway, folks, is that the establishment Republicans, although they cloak themselves in conservatism, are anything but. They loathe the conservative movement. They have the same loathings that the left has, only it's far more dangerous because it's coming technically from our camp. It's frightening. Okay, we got more. We got more, I promise. Back after this, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Hi, I'm James Bergener. Look, accidents happen. If you're in pain, you need to be proactive. Calling a lawyer isn't about going after the person who hit you. It's about dealing with an insurance company. The adjuster making decisions on your case isn't worried about treating you fairly. They're worried about one thing, money. An insurance company will never take care of you. But I will. Call me, Sweet James, at 1-800-881-2021. Or go to sweetjames.com.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation. Talk Radio, 790 KBC, the place for politics where you're going to get... Listen, folks, I'm telling you things you're not hearing anywhere else. And before I tell you a few more things you haven't heard anywhere else, let me tell you something that you've heard a lot of other places, but you need to hear it again. Now imagine you're in Minnesota and you are leaving the Marco Rubio Victory Party. And you're on the establishment bus, the GOP establishment bus, driven by a complete idiot. And there you are, you know, after a night of revelry, celebrating what appears certainly to be a guaranteed path to the nomination. And there on a lonely, dark road, the bus driven by the establishment idiot gets stranded on some railroad tracks. Yes, folks, you get stranded on a railroad track, which is not a good thing, because right then, from the right, you hear a noise, and it is what? It is the Trump train. It is the Trump train, and it just, well, I'll let you use your imagination, but you're hurt. You're very hurt. And you're going to need some help, because the one thing you don't want to do is go to the Republican establishment, who probably has the worst insurance ever, and you don't want that Republican establishment insurance company to try to sell you short the way they're doing to the country with little Marco. That's right, folks. You're going to do one thing and one thing only. You're going to call Sweet James Bergener. Sweet James will fight for you, fight for your rights, and make sure that the insurance company does not take advantage of you. And believe me, without him in your corner, that will happen. Now, there are a lot of imposters out there, other personal injury attorneys. You know, I hear names left and right. Wait, there's only one guy to trust, and that's Sweet James. He's a good guy, and he will make sure you get taken care of. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Now, we're talking about what a true conservative is and all this hubbaloo. Well, I got that wrong, didn't I? Hullabaloo. There we go. All this hullabaloo about, well, you know, Cruz, I'm the true conservative. And Rubio, Rubio practically, I bet he sleeps in an American flag at night for all this rhetoric out there. Yeah. The star-spangled pajamas. I imagine they're a little loose on him, though. Anyway, he probably goes to bed in a nightcap. I can imagine it right now. You know, like Merlin the Magician. He's got about the same sense of reality. So, okay, before I get off track again, look, here's what conservatism is. Like, if you find a conservative out there and they're reasonably well read, and you say, "What's your favorite book?" You know, chances are they're gonna. What are they going to do? They're, yeah, they yeah, Thomas Sowell, they might do, but they're going to, a lot of them are going to identify with Ayn Rand. They're going to identify with Atlas Shrugged, right? And this is it's a libertarian tone, but it speaks to conservatives, and it has spoken to the conservative movement, I think, unlike any other novel. And it's okay if you haven't read it. That's fine. I'm going to tell you what it's about. It's about this family-run business that mirrors something akin to what the Vanderbilts built with. You know, how did the Vanderbilts make their money? Railroads, right? And so you have this railroad company called Taggart Intercontinental. And the premise of the book is that this company was once great. And it was founded by this guy named Nate Taggart. Nathaniel, short for Nathaniel, but he goes by Nat. Nat Taggart, and he's the protagonist of the novel, Dagny Taggart. It's her great-grandfather. And this guy was a rogue. He was a rogue. I mean, he was a robber baron, but unabashedly so, right? He was rumored to have killed a politician because this one politician reneged on a deal. And there it is. So he's this guy. There's a lot of mystique about him. But now the company is run by her brother, who is a total nincompoop. He is basically James Taggart in that book is Mittens Romney. I mean, he's this guy who apologizes for his wealth wherever he goes. He's this guy who is very concerned about the company being socially responsible. And it's not about making profit as much as it is about doing good. And sometimes it means that we have to cooperate with others. And with this asinine ideology, he drives the company slowly into the ground. Now, if you are, well, if you possess a little bit of common sense and are reading this book, you're gripping each page, yelling at it almost, saying, what are you doing? And it's all about, you know, these anti-competition, you know, pacts. And there's a lot of politics in this book, but it's very interesting and there's a terrific story. But the long and the short of it is, conservatives read that book. Now, this is how you know, am I a liberal or am I a conservative? Here's the deal. If you're a liberal, if you're a Bernie Sanders voter, you're going to read that book and you're going to say, well, I kind of like that. I think that we do need a more humane world. And I don't think it's fair for this guy right here to accumulate this monopoly on steel or this monopoly in the railroad. We ought to have more free comp. We ought to break these things up and we ought to give every man a chance. And that's a refrain in the book. Now, if you are a conservative, you're reading the book and going, oh my gosh, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're destroying. This guy comes and out of scratch, he builds this up, this great company, and passes it on to the next generation who builds it up, who passes it on to the generation after that who builds it up. And they employ tens of thousands, well, hundreds of thousands of people, and they're building these lines and daring. And what are you doing? That's America. That's America. And here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. Whether they've read the book or not, because it's not about Atlas Shrugged at all. Okay, I'm just telling you this. This is a best-selling novel, a great novel that maybe if you haven't read it, you've certainly heard of it. This is a book that obviously gets at something in the American psyche. And that something is that we value our rogues. We value our robber barons. In spite of what your college professor told you, we value and admire success. What we don't value are, you know, pusillanimous, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, we don't value embarrassment of riches. We don't. This is a country where you do it, you pull yourself up, you put it together, you make it happen, and then you get up and you tell everybody, yeah, I did it. And you know what? You can too. And that, folks, that is Donald Trump. And when he first announced this race, when he first announced, I saw that, Robbie, am I a broken record? I saw his announcement, and I saw the rally that was the next day or the day after in Nevada. And I knew, I go, look, that's when I laid down my bets, folks. I'm going to make some money on this. That's when I laid down my bets that he would be our next president. And it wasn't because of poll numbers. It wasn't because this was favorable, unfavorable. It wasn't because of what Charles Krauthammer was saying or wasn't saying on Fox News. It was because this guy, Trump, is tapping into that part of the American psyche that has been bruised and battered under 8 years of Obama and, frankly, under 8 years of George W. Bush. And that, folks, that something is not tied to the Republican Party. Heaven forbid, certainly not the Republican establishment. That part is tied to who we are as Americans. And this election is not about that policy issue or this or that or what are we. This is kind of fundamental. It goes to the heart of who we are as a nation. And we're not Sweden. We're not Denmark. We're not Germany. We're America, damn it. And this is, you know, this is it. Trump is Nat Taggart. He's that rogue. But he doesn't apologize for it. He comes out and says, this is who I am. He's not polished. Unlike Romney, who delivered these very carefully prepared remarks that were beamed to him from two very shiny looking teleprompters. Trump stands on stage and basically pulls out a couple handwritten notes and then talks extemporaneously for 2 hours. Does he say everything perfectly? No. But what did, but for goodness sakes, didn't the Republican Party say to themselves, we want minorities, we want disaffected white voters, we want disaffected Hispanics, we want to be a big tent party. And they've got a candidate who is delivering it, who is delivering minorities, he's delivering huge voter turnout, He's got blue collar, white collar. He's got no collar. I mean, he's even got the guys in hoods. And, you know, I'm telling you, folks, I know that that's, you know, I mean, yeah. And it's, you know, yeah. Well, well, OK. So, I mean, this is a guy who's delivering an incredibly broad section of America. And it's the section of America that wants us to stand tall again. And the fact that the Republican Party is taking a piss on it is just, it's a head scratcher, folks. It's a real head scratcher. It's going to be over in a month, and I'm going to tell you why. Back after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Is this song about Chris Christie? Is that what this is? Because, yeah, okay, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. So Christie, right, the yeah, and I love it because, you know, okay, we've been hearing from the Democrats, we've been hearing from the mainstream media about how the Republicans need to get serious. They need to get serious. They need to talk issues. I mean, look at our candidates. There are Hillary Clinton, there are Bernie Sanders, talking about them in the plural because they both think so highly of themselves. So anyway, look, there they were, right, in their debates, and you heard it all over MSNBC about how adult they were being. What grown-ups? I mean, they have their differences, right? They don't see eye to eye, and they're locked in a fight to the death. But what? But they are, I don't know, they're being so grown up, right? They're not mudslinging the way those wascally Republicans are. Well, and then we have Super Tuesday, and we have perhaps the greatest news conference Trump has ever given. I mean, he's eminently presidential. I think, you know, yeah, there was that little snafu where Marco Rubio tried to steal the show by going on stage with his victory speech. Right as Trump is coming up to the podium to deliver his press conference, probably not accidental. It's a very little Marco move. Little Marco. Is that a trending hashtag? Little Marco? It is. Good. So it should be. So anyway, there's Trump, and he gives this great press conference, and all the media can talk about is Christie standing behind him looking somber. Well, I mean, the joke is, you know, he's basically developed stage 3 Stockholm syndrome. And, you know, and I watched it and I thought, well, innately I'm thinking, well, this isn't a rally. This isn't someplace where you're standing behind the candidate going, whoa, ho, ho, yeah, go, yeah, good one. And, you know, maybe he shouldn't have stood right where he stood, but sometimes you don't know where the camera's angled. I don't know. And sure enough, you know, Christie emerges and eventually says, I don't know what all the hubbub's about. I'm certainly not being held against my will. And it wasn't a rally, so I'm not going to get all rah-rah on people and not sit there with the grin on. I mean, they would have made fun of him regardless of whatever look he had on his face. If he had had a smile, they would have. Yeah, I mean, anything Christie shouldn't have been in that angle, in that camera. He shouldn't have been on screen. But look, it happened. So much for the Republicans being, so much for Trump being adult. You know, he can't get any, this man can get no credit. He is like one obstinate salmon swimming upstream, dodging who knows what obstacles thrown at him by both the Republican establishment and the left. He's almost like a man with no friends, except it's this call of nature. Well, especially if you believe Marco Rubio and all. What was all that about, right? He's sitting. I wonder why he wanted a full-length mirror, little Marco said. It must be, I don't know, maybe he wanted to see if he had peed on himself behind the podium. Rubio said that. I mean, it wasn't even funny. It wasn't even funny. It's just crass and odd. It was like somebody had slipped him a roofie. I saw the first time that Rubio went kind of off script, and I thought this guy's been on a date with Bill Cosby. Well, you know, I mean, it was odd. He looked disheveled. He looked maniacal. So, anyway. So this press conference that Trump gave, I think it leads into the debate, which, you know, was this their last debate? I'm hoping. How many more debates are there, producer Robbie? I don't know. I mean, it's just the winnowing field is going to. No, what's coming up? Let's look at that. So today we've got a handful of states up. Which ones? We got Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Maine. Nebraska's got the presidential caucus for the Democrats. But not a lot of delegates coming out of today, so we'll see how that shakes out. March 8th, we got a few more primaries. We got Hawaii, Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi. Mississippi, yeah, all four of those are going to be Republican fights. But the big one, folks, the big one, March 15th. So, all right. March 15th, Florida, Illinois, Missouri, North Carolina, and Ohio. Wow. They must have a lot of hullabaloo in Ohio. Didn't expect that one to be a tongue twister. So, what's big about that? It's fewer states. You know, if you think about it, it's fewer states than Super Tuesday. But the big thing, folks, is that we're starting to get into those winner-take-all states. And if you don't know this, let me explain to you why. In the beginning, they don't have winner-take-all. And as the race progresses, they gradually build up more winner-take-all races. I wonder if you know why. Missy, do you know why it works that way? So the idea is that in the beginning of the race, in the beginning of the primary season, you want things to be fluid. The way the delegate math is set up by design encourages some neck and neck battling. Because in theory, right, we believe in competition. And competition is good, not just in the marketplace, but also in the marketplace of ideas. And no better marketplace for ideas than elections, state by state, right? The primary process. And you don't want one candidate to just run away with it too soon. You want them to you want there to be some rivalry, some competitiveness. But as we've seen, what is happening out there is, I mean, was now nobody knew that Trump, when they put these rules together, when Prince Rebus, sorry, that's Rance Priebus. When Prince himself designed these rules, the RNC chairman, I don't think he envisioned that these rules would be in effect ensuring that Trump would be getting the candidacy, the nomination as the Republican candidate for president. In fact, he probably was hoping that one of his darlings, I think these rules were actually drafted with Jeb Guacamole Bush in mind. And so now, hoist by their own petard, the Republicans, it's almost tough to tell these days, the Republicans are fighting the Trump salmon swimming upstream. And here's why now it's winner take all, because what they didn't want is they didn't want the Republican primary process to eat its own. If you get too much competitiveness as the race progresses, what happens? Well, you get this clown, Marco Rubio, who has virtually no wind in his sails whatsoever in terms of delegate math, but he's hanging on because he's nibbling a few delegates here and nibbling a few there and a few over here, and he's slowly accumulating delegates, but he's not winning crap. And these are people that then end up doing more damage than good, right? They're instead of giving the Republican front runner an opportunity to, regroup, conserve money, and also avoid him just getting turned into hamburger out there politically. They want to have to avoid that. They want to have start having primaries that are winner take all, where the guy that comes in first, doesn't matter if it's 34% and the next guy's 33, the guy with 34% in Florida, let's say, what happens? You do the math, it's 99 delegates. Bam. So Missy, does that make sense to you? Good. Good. And that is why these Republicans right now, this is why they've dragged Mittens Romney up there to give this, you know, shambolic speech. Because yes, you know, when things aren't going, I can't even pretend to make a sports analogy, folks. It's not in me. But you don't pull out a loser, right, to lecture the winner on what he isn't. The absurdity of it is epic. But this is why they're pulling out all the stops. One, but I mean, they are everything because they know the GOP establishment has set up the formula that will ensure Trump's success. And they know what's coming around the bend. And it's, yeah, it's not little Marco. It's the Trump train. Don't get caught on the tracks. That's my advice. And love him or hate him, folks, I want to give you a dose of political reality here. And I also want to explain to you the why. And I hope, you know, I hope I've done that a little bit today. Because the why is really important. And what Trump embodies is inherently American and can trace its roots to the beginnings of the modern conservative movement. And it's founded in the celebration of exceptionalism, of strength, of individualism, of success, and of freedom. This is Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.